Welcome to Self-Discovery Radio, where the discovery of self is just a show away.
What makes you happy? Believe it comes in good time.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Vibrations Roundtable. And today we're going to be talking about the wonderment of children's books. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guests are back with me again today, Barrette Clemens-Powell, who's from Copenhagen, and Duwati Bastillo from London. I've interviewed them both before, and on the posting you will actually see the past shows that I've done with them. But both of them extremely invested in children. Barrette has written a beautiful book about Laurie Leake's travels to Paris, and she's got this little girl, an African-American little girl, traveling with her family, and they're going to be traveling around the world. And you're going to be able to see the adventures that she goes through, the wonderment that she learns through these books. And Duwati has, she's the founder of Holistic World, and her books are on kind of yoga and the magnificent me in the Grand Canyon. But everything is directed at making children feel that they're invited, that they're bought in, that they've, you know, that they can have some dreams, that they can think outside of their little world, they can explore through these beautiful books and discover the things that they can do if they dream and if they work towards it. So I'm going to welcome to the show both Barrette from Copenhagen here and Duwati from London. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me on the show.
That's wonderful. And that's Duwati, folks. And Barrette?
Hi, Sarah.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And folks, you know, she is having a bit of a problem with her Wi-Fi today, and so we may have a little technical issues. I ask you to bear with us because it's really hard to kind of coordinate these calls and get them all going when it's around the world. But I'm delighted to have them both back here again. You know, children's books are really kind of that first adventure, isn't it, that children will take. You know, it's mamas and grandmas and aunties and babysitters read to children, and it's their first little wonderment of, you know, I could be that little girl, I could be that little boy, I could do that too. And so books are really that wonderful switch on into the imagination. Barrette, I'm going to go to you first and talk a little bit about, you know, your inspiration behind your books.
Okay, thank you so much again, Sarah. Well, the inspiration behind my book really was Laurie Leake is based on me, and also simply my love of adventure and my love of travel. And along the way, I even learned just after I had published my book a few months ago, that there was a movement started called 1,000 Black Girl Books, because there are so few books out there for young girls of color, or featuring young girls of color as the main character, as the heroine. And I had that subconsciously in the back of my mind as I was writing the book, because as an adult woman of color from the U.S. traveling the world, I rarely see me, if you know what I mean,
yeah,
when I'm traveling Europe. I rarely meet me.
Exactly.
So this book is to say, hey, we're going to change that.
Exactly, and that it isn't all about little white kids, you know, going places. It's that color doesn't matter. It's all about the adventure and learning. And, you know, Duwati, give us a little, you know, what's behind your books and your passion that's there.
Well, the Magnificently Magnificent You range of books, they've been inspired, I'm coming as a mom, as a parent, from having read stories to my children from a very young age, and they still want me to read to them, even though they're a lot older now. I think they just love to have that little connection at bedtime. But for me, each of my books is going to be based on a different natural wonder of the world. And the main aim is to connect kids with nature and with the world around them, and what we can learn from nature, what we can learn from the world, and also to connect kids from different parts of the world to know we're all connected. We all have similar likes, interests, feelings, emotions, and it's kind of uniting kids around the world that we are one, and we're one with the world and one with nature, and how we can, how our actions impact each other and impact the world that we live in. So it's more about connecting kids around the world and uniting as one and connecting with nature, really. I think that's the sort of main aim of my books.
Exactly. And, you know, with both of the books, you know, as I said, books are that, that frontier, that entry into imagination. And it, you know, it shows kids that, you know, as you said, it unites people that there are other children around the world just like you, and this is the way they do things, and this is the way they see things. And with yours, Barrette, is like, you know, there are other children, because Laurie Leakes travels with her parents. So it becomes a parent-type thing. As a family, we can go and do this. And it's learning about the culture and how other people eat and live. And, you know, it's such a wonderful way of kind of teaching people about the world, and that this world is really, really small. Fundamentally, everybody's looking for the same thing. But by taking children through these wonderful stories, it opens up a way of being able to embrace what's going on in the world and inviting them to be a part of it. Barrette?
Yes, I think that's very, very true. And I just sort of smiled to myself, because I think that somewhere along the way, Diwali's characters and Laurie Leake will meet somewhere.
Yes, I was thinking that.
Somewhere along the way, they'll be, you know, those natural wonders of the world, because I'll be taking Laurie Leake to, you know, different cities around the world, seeing different things. And these are all actually coming from real life, because, for example, I've been invited to many, many different countries by people who've heard about this first book, and they would like to see their city, their town, their country in one of these books. So that means, yeah, there's going to be a lot of traveling. And I think it's very true of what Dwight was saying about how, you know, it really is about not just a child of color, but it's about all children. And that's what I, that's why when I did the book, I really just made it, she is a girl of color, but she's also just a girl. Mm-hmm. And she's in a family, and they travel. And I just wanted it to be that, so that it becomes, when we write children's books, what we put in them.
Hi, folks. Sorry about that. We had a drop and had to reboot, but we are back. And if we can catch Barrette back in her thought, we'll continue with this wonderful show.
Hi. Yes. Oh, that was some drop. Good thing it wasn't from a mountain.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I was saying that essentially, when, you know, when I was doing this, I was just really thinking, it wasn't really just about a child of color, but about a girl, but about a family, adventure, and travel, so that everything seems normal, because what children read becomes something to them that is possible.
Yeah, exactly. It actually becomes a reality, isn't it? Because the children become the characters. You know, they're that person on an adventure. And, you know, growing up, we, you know, didn't have very much girls. You know, you had the famous five, and there were a couple of girls in that, but mostly everything was boys. And so it was kind of girls didn't go on adventures, and we really do need to see that. Dwari, what do you add to that? Because I know you've got girls in yours, for sure.
Yeah, well, the characters in my book, they're twins, so it's a boy and a girl. So
covering your bases there.
It's great. So it kind of like gives the male, the male and the female, and, you know, we're a world of men and women, so we're both of equal importance. So within my stories, it's more of a sort of like an adventure where you explore the natural world, whereas I think with Barrette, it's more the city life. Whereas mine is kind of like more connecting with nature and what we can learn from nature. And as it's got male and female characters, they both bring their own unique individual qualities to the story as well. So it's more of kind of like a nature exploration of the world that we live in.
And, you know, both bases definitely need to be covered because, you know, a lot of kids kind of may live away from a city. And, you know, a city just looks like, you know, a tall kind of concrete type jungle. And they don't realize it's about the, you know, the coffee culture, the little stores, you know, the life and the hustle and the bustle that goes on in a city. Whereas, you know, in nature, you're talking about, you know, the wonderful creatures and the land and the mountains and the sea. And it's two wonderful educations that are going out to children to show that the world is more than their little place that they live in. And that there is a wonderful cohesiveness there. Who wants to take that one?
Yeah, no, it's great because we're both kind of bringing two different aspects of our world, so the city life and, you know, nature and Mother Nature. So I think the books will complement each other, you know, fantastically.
Oh, yes, I think they definitely will. And I have to say, though, when Laurie Leake does visit cities, she does actually get out sort of into the country. For example, when she comes to Copenhagen, a lot of Denmark is mostly, except for a few cities, it's mostly small towns and nature areas. So she does manage to get out there and make some contact with nature. But I think, yes, definitely our books are complementary and opening up something to children that I know I didn't see when I was a child in terms of books.
Exactly. I'm actually just having a little epiphany here. I can see, you know, your characters meeting where, you know, your characters, Duarte, go to the city and Laurie Leake shows them around and then invite her to the countryside or, you know, to the canyon or whatever to explore that. And then kind of seeing it through the children's eyes, because that's the thing is that We're seeing it from the children's eyes, but imagine being kind of the fly on the wall with the children's conversation going on of what they're experiencing. And, you know, that's from an adult perspective. We learn so much about our children by watching them and their interaction and reaction to what's around them.
And we'll have to get together, Duarte, when Laurie Leake goes and sees her first bison. Definitely, I'm taking her out to where there are mountains and where there are animals that simply make your jaw drop. I think that especially when you bring a child out into nature, I really agree with you that that is such an amazing thing, and it is such a wonder to see the places that are not human, that are not human made, the places that are the mountains, the fields, the animals. I'm so looking forward to actually getting to pick up a copy of one of your books.
And Duarte?
Yeah, I mean, with my story as well, it's kind of looking at the spiritual side as well, because within each story I want to kind of share a really empowering message to inspire young minds to believe in themselves and about all their wonderful, beautiful qualities within. So as well as being a book that kind of like teaches you about the natural world, it's also a story that will teach you about the different, unique quality of your own. So each book will highlight something different within to empower young people to kind of follow their dreams and believe in themselves and know that they're full of so many gifts and so many talents, as well as kind of like learning from the natural world. So it, as well as there being an adventure and a story, there's also going to be different messages within each story. And the plan is, because each book is going to be based on a different natural one of the world, is to utilize my books to actually fundraise to support each different natural wonder. So as we kind of like go on the journey, that's the sort of vision that's come to my mind, to use my work to kind of fundraise to support the environment as well. So that's where my sort of work is kind of going in that direction.
And you've got something that you've got a calling for too, right, Barrett?
Well, in terms of what do you mean?
In support of what's going on in the book?
Well, one thing that the book definitely is supporting, I know that you've probably heard of, there's been the Black Girls Rock movement and Girls Going Global, which is about taking young girls of color, particularly African-American girls, out of the city and taking them out of the city in the U.S. and taking them out of the country to other places so that they will begin to travel. And then, of course, there was the 1,000 Black Girl Books movement that was started by an 11-year-old girl to say, hey, I want to see books that, you know, represent me. And the other thing was, I really made sure that this was about a family doing this because that is such an important value for me. Mm-hmm. And I actually ended up dedicating this book in terms of giving some of the proceeds away of the book will go to a charity that is one named after my brother who died in 2014 of cancer. And a portion of the proceeds will go to a charity that he started, which is related to the fraternity, men's fraternity that he was involved in college and after college. He took leadership of it, and he would help to raise money at an annual breakfast for projects such as working with and kind of being big brother to boys who didn't have fathers. And I really want to honor my brother, his legacy, and that work. And in fact, they actually took the breakfast itself, and when he died, they renamed the breakfast in his name, in honor of him. And so for me, it's very important to be able to send a portion of this to that breakfast to contribute to that fund every year.
And, you know, this is kind of what it's about, is that, you know, you're writing from something that means something from you, you know, connection from your own childhood, your children around you, you know, the wonderment that life is and that as adults we forget. But the being of service to humanity along the way is not only, you know, your gift to mankind, but also becomes such a wonderful lesson to the children. You know, not only have we given you, you know, a wonderful adventure and knowledge, but we're also showing how you can contribute to humanity through reading. And I think this is a wonderful lesson for children because it teaches them. We already know that kindness is, and sharing and collaboration is in kids. You know, they're not born racist, they're not born bigots, they're not born with hate. That love is in them. And the more we nurture that and that kindness and that sharing in them, the better adults we're going to have in the future.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. I can imagine a child who is reading books that show natural wonders of the world, that show beautiful cities and gives a sense of history and where things come from. And that child who's reading those books grows up with a mindset that says, I can do this and I can be this.
Yeah, and I can contribute this as well, right, Dawati?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, imagination is so powerful. Like they say, everything starts in the imagination, all the new discoveries, all the new creations, all the new inventions. So when you kind of nurture a child's imagination from a young age to know that they can have big dreams, they can imagine, you know, the unimaginable, then they grow up into adult life and they can create all these wonderful things that they've dreamed of as children. You know, it starts off, you know, in someone's mind as a dream, as an imagination.
And, you know, we're in a world where, you know, kids hear all the time, you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. And because society has dictated this nice little box that everybody should live in. And, you know, when you teach kids imagination and you take them on adventures, all of a sudden those boxes start falling aside and say, but no, it is possible. We can do it. And we need more we can children. As you've written a book, Yoga Kids, I Can and I'm Able. You know, the more we encourage kids to dream, to have that imagination, to break down those barriers, to see those possibilities, to create opportunities for them, the better our future will be.
Yeah, and that will create a powerful new generation and know that they're all connected and we're all part of one big Earth family as well.
Exactly. And that is really what makes the world a better place, you know, is their investment in our children. Let us not forget they're our future decision makers and leaders. And it's really, really important how we invest in them today, how we nurture them, and how we teach them to have that expansion of mind, heart, and soul. Because, you know, they're going to be the people deciding our future later on.
Yes, and I think we all... Right now, I've been reading a lot of these articles about millennials. I didn't really pay much attention until about 6 months ago. And now I've really been trying to delve into articles about millennials and general characteristics and things like that, and just watching things around the world. And I think we have a lot of work to do, because we have a generation that we are expecting will support the generations, the two generations that came before them, expecting support, them to support, but yet we're not giving them what they need to support, and we're not filling them with the good stuff, and we haven't filled them with the good stuff that they need to be able to be the persons that can do such a thing. And I think it's, I think children's books do matter, because they help to fill them up. And I look at children's books even that have come along. I don't know that we've seen so much of this. I think only now people like Diwadi and I are writing these kinds of books, realizing consciously that we must create books with this kind of content.
Absolutely. And having actually interviewed a few children book writers, there was a huge gap there for a while where there just really wasn't any of that guidance, you know, for,
yes,
for the millennials. And now we're seeing, you know, some wonderful stories coming about life, about consciousness, about kindness, about, you know, embracing our imagination. And having actually interviewed a few millennials, I think that we're really divided right now. We have the millennials that are all about the instant gratification, you know, Twitter, Instagram, instant, haven't got an attention span. But then we've got these other millennials that are out there that are an enormous philanthropist already, that are already out there making a difference in the world by bringing awareness. And you just have to look at the political arena that's going on in the States right now around Bernie Sanders, a 74-year-old who has more millennials around and supporting him because of his message than we've ever seen in time before. So, you know, I think for even a lot of those people that are caught up in the instant, it gets to a point where this is not gratifying me. I need something more of depth. And in their millennial nature, that philanthropy and that depth is something they're begging for.
Yes, you know, I interestingly enough, I can't really say I know of a lot of children's books between about the time that I was a child and reading such books and now, where I'm paying more attention to children's books. It seems that there just kind of wasn't.
Yeah.
I think we went from the era of Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, Bobbsey Twins, all creatures great and small, and, you know, those kinds of things, to ones that just didn't have any real substance to them.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think there was a huge gap there, and it's so much needed. Now, you have children, Diwadi.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, was that part of your drive for you? Like, there aren't the books out there, so I need to write them.
Well, I mean, I've read so many children's books, and each, even though they're different styles, they each contain different messages, from Alice in Wonderland, the trade
classics
in different ways. Maybe they're more kind of not so apparent, but the stories have always held messages. Even from fairy tales, there's like fantastic messages within, you know, the Brother Grimm, you know, all those different fairy tales that I used to read as a child, and I've read them all to my kids. So the books have always contained stories have always been a great way of sharing knowledge, sharing ideas. So, I mean, even from my childhood, I learned so much from reading. I was a bit of one of those geeks, those bookworms, who'd open a book and read into the early hours of the morning until I got to the end, because I was so drawn into the story. So, what was I?
So yeah, I mean, there's so many different messages in different books. Maybe in like Barat's in my book, it may be that we're trying to, that's one of the key elements to our book, so it's maybe more apparent, the different messages that we're trying to bring out. But stories are always full of messages and always full of inspiration, and there's different treasures in so many different books. I'm a bookworm. I'm a bookworm.
Right.
So I love
Yes, I think most of we writers were bookworms.
Yeah. And of course, if you think about it, you know, a lot of those books that you referred to were very fanciful, and they took you to another world. And yes, there was a message there, but it was another world. The books that you guys are writing are more, you know, participatory, you know, where kids can feel, well, that can be me. This could be my life right now. It's more tangible. It's more relatable because, you know, it's addressing the now and seeing the beauty and the imagination of what is around us now and not taking us off into another world.
Yeah. I mean, especially with mine, with nature, it's like actually learning from nature and all the powerful messages, I mean, all the healing qualities of nature. It's there right in front of you, something that's tangible and real, you know, that you can explore and be a part of.
Exactly, tangible. It's there. I can relate to it. I could be a part of my everyday life. And I think that's something that was missing there for a long time. You know, there were the great classics and, you know, a lot to be learned from them. But it wasn't something that was relatable to people's lives. It took them off into wonderful imagination. But, you know, not everybody could be Tintin or, you know, or Alice in Wonderland or, you know, and to actually have somebody who's actually taking an adventure in Paris and, you know, finding the cheeses and the bread and the Eiffel Tower, you know, you've made something, well, when I grow up, I want to go there. I want to do that. Where people, when they say, when I grow up, I want to be Alice in Wonderland, you know, not necessarily. I guess there are some, but you know, it's not quite so tangible.
Yes, yes. I mean, granted, Alice in Wonderland was an adventure story, but kind of more in the mind and more symbolic, and Laurie Leake is a lot more tangible. And it does mean that, you know, a child can say, okay, whether it's a girl or a boy, they can say, oh yeah, hey, look at this, I can do that, oh, I can be bold and try this or that, or, you know, me. I mean, in the book, I have to tell you, Duati, her parents take her to the Moulin Rouge cabaret, to the dinner show, and she finds her way to the famous Doris dancer's rehearsal room. And the next thing you know, guess who's the star of that night's show?
And that's you know, every little girl's dream, right? I mean, we had Expo 86 here in Vancouver, Canada. And my daughter was 3 years of age at that time. And there was this big performance going on the stage outside in this arena. And my little girl was out there performing. She was dancing, you know, on the floor below. She suddenly stopped and made a curtsy, and everybody applauded. But the people on the stage hadn't finished. And they were wondering, what's going on? We haven't finished yet. And then they look down and see this little three-year-old who's just taken everybody's attention in this performance. And it was, you know, and it was so cute to see.
I think to see a child, a girl, be so gutsy, so honest about how she, the joy that she feels, to not have the, you know, guile, to not be covering up her emotions, to just to be who she is as a child, that's what I think books really need to help to bring out.
The free spirit.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as you said, you know, like with your book, I Can and I'm Able, is that when we teach children to be aware of their senses of, like, you know, jumping off a bridge is not a good idea, but pushing my boundaries and believing I can achieve something, you know, not letting my parents' fear or other dictation get in the way, you know, is something that we really need to encourage our children to do. Because we're the ones that have limited them. And if you set a child free, I mean, as you said, 11-year-old starting this campaign, you know, there was a 6-year-old that came up with a 3D hand for people who don't have hands. And their imagination and the gifts that these millennial or these indigo kids have today is phenomenal. And if we don't put barriers on our children, we never know what we've got that we're nurturing, you know, that are going to be our wonderful, not only leaders, but inventors and creators.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, I can tell you, growing up, I mentioned earlier some books because they were ones that I read. I read those Bobbsey Twin books. But I remember, I can tell you that some strong influences for me were the Nancy Drew books,
yeah,
which was about a detective. She was a detective. And also there was a book by Judy Blume, I believe, Harriet the Spy. I ended up being, my first career was being a journalist, an investigative journalist, because I was going to get to the bottom of all the mysteries, and I was going to tell the world about it. Because I saw a female who was doing that. I saw a female, curious, writing things down, taking notes, not taking no for an answer, questioning things, and digging and being determined. I got those from books.
Exactly. Right, Dwadi?
Yeah. And quite exciting now, a lot of books are being made into movies, which is also a great way to connect with kids as well, through the world of movies and TV shows. So that's also an exciting way to share your message to kids, yep, and video games. There's all these different avenues as well.
Yeah, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, Narnia. And one of my favorites, Inkheart, where, you know, all the people that he reads, the story comes to life. You know, his wife gets sucked into the book. And, of course, then you've got the game Jumanji. I mean, this is the thing is... When a movie or a TV show does it right, you know, they can take that book and that story, you know, beyond expansion. I mean, look at how many times Peter Pan has been done in so many different ways, and each one of them just, yeah, a lovely perspective of a great story.
And each can pull out a different message from within that story as well, and highlight it. You know,
yes,
bring out, you know, each movie can pick on a different, you know, point. The story.
Exactly, and we need that storytelling. Now, you know, let us not forget the storytelling is not just for children. It is essential that we go down at adventures. You know, I've just finished a book by somebody I interviewed, Paula Gates Bates, on Atlantis. And, you know, for her, it was kind of a conduit writing. I mean, she just sat at her computer and it poured out of her, and it's the story of how Atlantis sank. And although it's a world so far away, there are so many relative messages to our society today that very often that, you know, our history is a complete reflection of where we are now and the path that we could choose or not choose. And it's, you know, I think books are just, they're not just an escapism. They're not just an adventure. I think when you put a book down and it leaves you thinking, and it has you looking at your life in a different way on society today, I think that it becomes part of our, you know, our knowledge that helps us actually see life in a different way and know how to cope with it.
Yes, most definitely. I think you find solutions, options, ways of dealing with things through the things that we read, especially. As a child, it's funny, I just was thinking about the fact that when I moved from the U.S. to Europe, I realized I couldn't take my books with me, and I have to tell you that it was heartbreaking to me. It was actually a bit traumatizing. It took me some time. I had over 3,000 books dating back to books I'd been given as a child, and I just could not take them with me.
Are they looked after?
No, I had to give them away.
But you're passing those stories on and that journey on to other people.
So it was like I had to keep all those stories in my head, but I had to... Books are such a precious thing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Dwadi, bookworm?
Well, I guess I mean, as a child, I used to go to the library a lot, so I would get half a dozen books for that week, take them home and read them all, and take them back to the library and get half a dozen more. So I didn't have a huge collection of books, and I probably tend to pass on my books more, so I don't like to keep too many books. Now we've got Kindle, so you can kind of store loads of books in one place, which makes it really easy for transportation.
Yeah, exactly. I yes. have to admit, though, I'm still a paperback person, though. I like the feel of a book in my hands.
Just so you know, if you ever wanted to give me a gift, a book would be wonderful. I have a friend, actually, who, since we were younger, I always give her a book on her birthday, and it would be a first edition book. And I would try to find her favorite authors and make sure I got her a first edition. And it was really funny to me that one day she said, "You always do that." And I said, "What?" She said, "It's so cute about you." Apparently, and I hadn't realized it then, when I get a book, I always open it and I like to fan the page and smell the book before I read it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got behind me, which anybody who ever Skypes and sees me, is piles of books. Haphazardly, because I haven't got a bookshelf behind me, they're just piled on top of a cabinet. And haphazardly, kind of up to the ceiling. And of course, I get sent books all the time from people that I'm interviewing, and I just love it. You know, that tactile, that touch. And I think another thing, too, that I've talked about with other authors before is sometimes if you're reading a novel, you need to read from beginning to end. But there's a lot of other books out there today that, you know, maybe self-help books or just sharing of knowledge, that all you need to do is just open up that book and that page will always have a message for you. You know, be an answer to something that maybe you didn't even know you were questioning.
That's true. That's very true. The messages that come across in a book that you don't even think about have such a strong influence on you.
Yeah, that whether at the end up being kind of an answer to something, as I said, that sometimes you don't even know you have a question to, but it just like, oh, okay, all right. And I think with children, it's the same thing. Don't you find that when you're reading a story to a child, that there's always a bit, will you read that bit again? Because that bit speaks to them. You know, they really relate to that particular moment and they want you to go back and read that bit again.
I think Dawadi probably experiences that a lot.
Well, I think when they're quite young, you probably find as a parent that you reread their favorite stories again, because they'll ask for that favorite story that they love. And even as a child, I'm sure I've read a couple of books over again because I've really, really enjoyed it. And also when you reread a book, if it's a really big book, each time you read it, you might pick out something you missed mm-hmm. the first time. Something else might jump out at you. So that's a really good quality book. You can reread it and find something new, you know, the second time round.
It also kind of your frame of mind, isn't it? Because, you know, from the last time you've read it, you know, you maybe have advanced in your thinking, and suddenly you come back and revisit a book, and it's like, you know, you're almost like you're reading it for the first time as a totally new person, because you've changed since you read the book. And so now the way you're reading that book, you're going to get things out of it that you would not have been able to the first time you read it.
Yeah, it's all about the power of perspective, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How you perceive different things in different ways along your life, because you yourself sort of grown as a person, you're looking at it through new eyes.
You know, going back to millennials, I think that, you know, a lot of what we're looking at today is, if you look at a lot of our millennials today, especially those with that instant of everything, they weren't readers. They weren't necessarily book readers. Kind of had a generation there that didn't get into the books like we did. And I think that is, I think the art of reading a story and encouraging our children to read a story is teaching them about process, about patience, about allowing things to build, you know, to following a story into that wonderful crescendo, and stop being so instant. So I think that book reading can teach people a great deal about the process of life and are certainly about patience and allowing things to evolve instead of wanting that instant gratification. Who wants to take that one? Hadn't thought about that one? You're both book readers, but I mean, think about it. When you're reading a book, it requires you to give it some time and some patience, right? To let the story unfold.
Well, perhaps only if you don't go to the last page and read the ending first.
I must admit, I have done that in the past as a child. I've skipped through to see what happens at the end.
Yeah, if it isn't happy, you're not going to read it, right?
I guess with kids also now, I mean, I've got two young boys, so they're really into video games and playing on their Xbox, and it's all really fast-paced. And it's all, you know, go, go, go. So for them to sit down and read a book, it's quite nice because it shifts their minds from action, action, action to kind of sitting down calmly and just taking it slowly and reading a book and just, you know, just getting lost in that in the adventure that they're reading.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of helps kids to kind of also kind of like take a little step back and be more calm and relaxed as well.
Yes, I think it definitely helps with their problem-solving skills and just being able to think things through, to be able to measure their responses when it's necessary to measure one's responses. I do think that is important. I don't have children, but I am concerned that children are too involved with video games and computers and things like, and you know, texting and the latest social media thing, and not reading, or that the things that they're reading are maybe they're not getting into the fiction, they're not opening their mind, they're not expanding. So I do think that children's books matter because children do need to read more to get those benefits. I do think there is something, Sarah, to the starting at chapter one, you know, from the first word and going all the way through and finding out the twists and turns that happen along the way in the course of a story. Those things are important to be able to do, and that there isn't always instant gratification. But we live in an instant gratification world. So that really can be a challenge.
Yeah, I think there has to be more inspiration for there to be an invitation. You know, and of course what we're seeing now too is that for some people it might not be book reading, it might be art. You know, I had actually all of my kids were, you know, loved doing art, you know, sketching or drawing or this or that, and again it was that quiet time allowing that imagination to go. You know, to explore something. And, you know, I was fortunate, my kids were just kind of caught on the cusp. They all got phones when they were teenagers, and that was because I wanted to know I could get hold of them at any time. So it was more for me. And they got the video games kind of when they were teenagers, but, you know, before then it was the book reading. And I'm a storyteller, so I would tell them stories. And the stories would generally always incorporate them in it. You know, take something that's happened the day with them in it and expand it out into a story. So, you know, books are wonderful because I think also kids then, once they've heard the story, then go and take the book, whether they can read or not. And they kind of go through the pages and the drawings, and that story is relived that way as well. So whether a kid is actually ready to read the words or whether it's remembering the story and following the pictures, it's inviting them into that beautiful world of books and storytelling and imagination.
Oh, yes. Definitely that's an invitation. Interestingly that you mention art, because I come from a mother who was a musician and a father who was an artist. And so then here I am, the writer.
Exactly. That's your expression. That's your art. And I think that's something else people need to understand. When you're a writer, it is your art. You're an artist expressing yourself through the books, through the words, through that imagination. It's your canvas. And, you know, what you're going to put down on that canvas is only limited by your own imagination.
Dawadi, I want to ask you, you were saying about how you read when you were younger, and I wonder, do your boys have a library card?
They do, and they have a bookshelf, they have a collection of books. Because, I mean, for me, when I was a kid, I would escape into books. You know, I would get lost in the story, and I think a lot of kids now as well, books are a great way to escape from whatever's happening in their life and go on a different adventure. Because each child who's reading a book, their home situation may not be fantastic. They may have problems at school, they may have problems at home, they may come from, you know, a troubled home life. So with a book, they can read a book and they can escape into a whole new world that can uplift and inspire them and give them hope and, you know, allow their imagination to kind of grow and soar and take them away from whatever's going on around them. They may be in a country where there's war going on. So books are wonderful, you know, for so many different reasons, you know, whether it's a message, whether it's just sort of escaping from your current realities. You know, books, I think, you know, books are, you know, heartwarming for so many different reasons.
I think they can teach kids courage. You know, it's the character that they, you know, that they read. And it's like, well, that character had courage to do that. You know, maybe I can find that courage in me to overcome my challenges. And also, I think it's not just the courage, and it, but it becomes tools for the kids too, right? You know.
Yeah, so, I mean, books are so powerful.
Yeah, megally powerful. I mean, if we sometimes just step away from the story and then look at those wonderful little intricacies of the meaning behind it, I think that that's what people, you know, in need grasp onto, and then it becomes their courage, their tools, their knowledge in order to help them out of their own situation.
Yes, I definitely think you can find things like that in a book. I ask about that, about your son's Dawadi, because I remember that was the first thing I would do whenever we would move when I was younger, was I would ask where the public library was. My mother, you know, our father would take me there, and I would get a library card. That's the first thing I would, that was my form of having identification, a library card. You are someone, yeah. You have a library card, and then I could just spend hours in there.
they do have library cards, but they also have a Kindle. So now it's quite easy to download books on Kindle, and there's loads of free books on Kindle as well.
What age are they, Dawadi?
Well, Christopher has just turned 10, and Ethan's going to be 9 next month. So they're 9 and 10. They're quite close in age.
Right. And my brother is a youth genre writer. And so he kind of writes about the teens. And I love reading them because, you know, I see some, although it's kind of written around the teens, there's a lot of mystery, there's generally a lot of kind of supernatural and a lot of adventure. The lessons learned in it, you know, about courage, about how to get themselves out of a situation. He wrote one book, you know, The Repercussions of Thomas D., that I think should be in schools. Because it's about a kid that falls through kind of a loophole and ends back in the Second World War. And he's got his phone with him, and he can still text his friend back in real time. But he ends
up... that's awesome.
But he talks to this one person who ends up being a German spy, and because of him, he changes history. And then it's fast forward to the future, and there are no cell phones, there is no internet, there's no TV, and everybody's under German rule. And it's like, you know, the what if? And it just shows how, you know, things can change and what it can change to. And I think it really kind of gives that pause for thought about, you know, actions and things we take and how they can actually change a future. So I love reading his books, even though they're youth genre, because I love the way it makes me think and look at things differently. So,
well, something like that. That sounds like a wonderful book that I'd like to even to pick up. But I'm not sure I so much like some of the things that are in the teen genre. I must say, Sarah, For example, and I know this sounds terrible to say, but all of these Twilight books.
Vampire books and things, yeah.
Yeah, I really don't get that.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, of course they made millions out of it, out of the movies and everything. And the stories were kind of quite weak. But if you do like that, you know, it's under Sam Hawksmoor, you will like his other books because there's generally something political in there. I mean, there's so much that he wraps up in that book that as an adult you'll see one thing, but kids see as another, and then later on it hits them. And I think that's really the art of good storytelling, is that you can reflect back on a book and suddenly get a message from it. Ah, now I know what that chapter was about. Or, you know, now I actually understand why that character did that. And I think that's what, you know, for me is a great book, is when I can revisit it in memory and kind of get something from it that I didn't get before.
True. That's very, very true. Yes. I can think back to the lessons or characters, and I still do that today with books that I may have read a month or two ago, and a character or a situation makes me reflect and say, oh, well, you know, my situation right now or this situation we're dealing with, that's actually similar to this thing in this book, and to use those lessons.
Yes. And I think that, you know, it's not just for entertainment and imagination, is it? Is that, you know, a good book will always have a lesson in it, and always something that, you know, kind of becomes part of your, you know, your little directory of thought that you can go to, because you can go back and revisit that book. How did that character do it? And can that help me overcome what I need to do right now? So, you know, for me, when I read a book, I don't dive straight into another book. I like to digest it and think about it before I then go into a clean slate to read another book.
But I don't think children think about that. I think they just want, oh, yes, if they're really into books, it's a new book. Let me just start that one.
Exactly. And then it will be, you know, book after book after book. You know, if they can get you sitting there and just reading a dozen books, then they're happy, right?
Oh, yes. Well, it's funny, in Laura Lee Travels to Paris, I put a little part in there that's from my childhood. Whenever we would go somewhere, I would have to go through a suitcase inspection because, as I show in Laura Lee Travels to Paris, there was a tendency to pack books in the suitcase, more books than clothing.
Yes.
And that's a book. That's a bookworm.
Yeah, and of course today, when you're thinking about how much you're paying per a pound when you're traveling, it's not necessarily something you can do. That's where the Kindle
comes in.
Then
you go with the Kindle.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But again, you know, like you know, when you're reading a Kindle to a kid, yeah, they can touch the screen and this and that. But I, you know, and maybe I'm just showing my age. You know, it is something about turning that page and having that picture on there that, you know, maybe the Kindle doesn't do. But do you read, I mean, have you read to your kids through Kindle, Duarte, or has it always been kind of books?
I've only read books to them. I mean, they read Kindle on their own.
Right.
It's quite funny, like, books that I, like, great classics that I read as a child, that I loved as a child, and then now my children are reading those same books, and it just shows, like, the timelessness of the kid's book. But even though it was many years ago that I read that book, they are now enjoying the same story and learning from that, you know, the story. Maybe they're picking up something different that I did as a child. But it's amazing, like, how timeless a good book can be, you know, and the messages are relevant for this generation and the future generations and the past generation. You know, that's the power of a good book as well.
Yeah, exactly. It never dies. It's just a different lesson for, you know, the children today. And if that message is very fundamental, just like as yours is based in nature, and, you know, Laurie Leake's in the adventure of embracing the cultures, you know, those kind of lessons don't die. So it's not just a book that's on the shelf for this generation. It's on the book, you know, bookshelves for many generations to come.
Oh, yes.
And that connects all the different, you know, generations.
Exactly. I think that's something that we definitely need to see more today too, is is more embracement of, you know, of other cultures, of other nationalities, of other choices, of other lifestyles. Because, you know, we're seeing so much nowadays, and I think especially in North America, you know, where people are just so trapped in their own little world that they don't even acknowledge there's another world outside of that. And I think, you know, books, especially read when they're young, you know, gives them that wonderment. And then you can go on the computer, where is this country? You know, where is this? And then you can look it up, and it becomes something that becomes so much more exciting and tangible. But if you keep your children just in this tiny little restricted box of knowledge, how are they ever going to respect the rest of the world if they don't know anything about it or nature?
So I think that's, yeah, when you're talking about nature, I think that's, growing up, my family, we spent so much time, probably because the parents said, oh, we've got to get them out of the house. We spent so much time in parks and going to zoos and going on hikes and going for walks and going to the lake and driving, you know, for hours to go visit relatives out in the country, although we lived in the suburbs, we weren't in the city. What is it out in nature is so important for children to connect with. I know that today, that's something that just resounds in me. Even though I live in a city, it's really not, if I had my druthers, it's not my first choice. It perhaps it's just a more matter of convenience of some things at times. But getting out and being in nature, and I think books that show what is out in nature and gives a child a chance to explore that, are really beneficial to a child. It shows you how big the world is. The thing that most affected me growing up was the fact that I grew up on a coast where I could actually swim in the ocean. In the ocean. I mean, I was even baptized there in the ocean, and then even moved later as an adult to another ocean. The fact that the ocean is so huge, it's a sense of divinity to me that lets me know there is something out there that is so much bigger, so much greater than me. There is so much creativity there. There is such giant spirit there. And the ocean just brings such an overwhelming sense of joy and love. And I think that this is something that children gain by being out in nature.
Well, you know, the ocean unites, doesn't it? It connects all the countries together. It is that common denominator that, you know, joins everything together. And when we actually understand, you know, that sailing or flying across the seas, you know, we actually, I think, kind of have a little more respect. And that's something we're trying to teach our children, isn't it? Respect for their world and for each other. And we can only do that through teaching them the wonders, the beauty, and the glory of friendship, of kinship, of kindness, of nature, and of country. And that comes down to the storytelling that we do with our kids. So I'd love you both now to share how people can get your books, how they can also get your services. You've got Holistic World, Duwati. So let's start with you, because you also have this whole yoga program for kids and everything. Would you let everybody know how they can get you and your books?
So basically, my books are available on holisticworld.co.uk, on Amazon, and various other book retailers. And also, there's a magnificently.com website, which is created specifically for nurturing and empowering young minds, which is currently in development, so that's still growing at the moment. Those are, and I'm on Twitter, on Facebook, Holistic World. So those are the main ways of connecting with me. So please join me on Twitter, join me on Facebook, and I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, I'm just going to repeat that because you did get cut off a little bit. It's holisticworld.co.uk. And everything will be on there, and these yoga cards for kids, which is great. And you know, to know more about that, please do listen to her show that she did with me before, where we actually talk about the yoga kids and the holistic world in more detail, and all of her books are on there as well. So do check it out. Okay, and Duwati, how do they get hold of your books? How do they book you for speaking engagements? And if they want you to write a book about their country, how do they get hold of you?
They can contact me through info@holisticworld.co.uk.
Okay, wonderful. And Duwati? Oh, sorry, and Bharat.
Okay.
Getting stuck on a name here.
Well, if you want, the website for Lori Leak Travels to Paris is Lori Leak, LoriLeak.wordpress.com. So you can find all the latest news there. We also on Facebook have a Lori Leak Facebook group, and you can find it and then just request to join, and we'll accept you. And there we share all kinds of things related to the book and related to writing and various topics, a lot of stuff on Paris now, for example, and soon then there will be stuff about Copenhagen and about Denmark. So you can find that there. And on Amazon.com, of course, you can buy the book, or on Lulu.com, Lulu.com. You just put in Lori Leak Travels to Paris, and you can find it. It's in paperback, and it's in ebook form. And on Amazon.com, you can find it also as Kindle or as a paperback.
Wonderful. And for your own personal site, there is Barrett C. Powell, which is
B. Yes, I have my own. Barrett P is in popcorn, OWELL.com, BarrettCPowell.com. And I do a lot of work there through there with people on work-life blend, and I work with people at turning points in their lives, if they're turning 30, 40, 50, or 60. So you can go there and check that out and decide if you want to work with me. I also teach online courses. You'll find them there on that website. Women's leadership courses, spirituality courses. I'm coming up with new courses all the time, and they're a really wonderful way to learn, online learning. And basically, the courses are all all the prices are lowering now, so they'll be $50 or less to take a course that will just really enrich your life emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, psychologically.
Wonderful.
So you can get in touch with me any of those ways.
Exactly. So, folks, you've got the Holistic World, which there's so much on there. Please go and check it out, holisticworld.co.uk. Not only are the books are there, but, you know, all about yoga and many other things with Duwati. And then you've also got Barrett's books, which is laurieleak.wordpress.com or barrettcpowell.com for her services. I thank you both for coming on the show with me here today, and you know, just reiterating how important it is for children to read. You know, it teaches them patience, it teaches them a certain discipline, it teaches them courage, and it shows them, you know, tools, and shares with them knowledge that they can use in the future. And I think it also teaches them respect and value for you know, other cultures, other places, and of each other. And that is fundamentally, I think, one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children, you know, not just of wonderment, but also of respect and value and kindness and love, because if they don't have that, they're not going to grow up to be the human beings we want them to be. So in closing, would you both like to just close us off? So Duwati, would you like to close us off for the day?
Oh, well, thank you, Sarah, for having me today, and wonderful to meet you, Barrett, and hear about
Lady. Yes, and wonderful to meet you, too. I'm going to get a hold of your books, because I really would like to see children and nature together.
Definitely, and likewise, I will be getting hold of your book as well and reading it to my kids, so I'll let you know. You know, how they find it as well. That would be great. But thank you very much for having me again, Sarah, and I look forward to our next interview.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, and hopefully we won't be so technically challenged on that one. And Barrett, yeah. You want to just close people off with something?
Well, I just want to say that keep reading, especially girls, keep reading and be brave, be strong, get out there, especially African American families. Get your girls out there into the world and know that they really need your support and that push to be strong women.
Exactly. And you know, women, girls, you're independent, you're individuals, and you can be anything you want to be, and you don't need permission from anyone to do so. So thank you both of you for the empowerment that you give children, the tools that you give parents, and in doing so with these books, you know, the wonderful seeding that you're planting in children, our future leaders, our future society, because it will make the world a better place. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And to everyone out there, please, books are something that always make the greatest gift. And, you know, read to your children, to your grandchildren, to your nieces, your nephews, your friends, each other. Keep books alive, because that's what keeps the imagination and respect alive in your child. Until next time.